Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome again to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. It's been a good weekend, really good week in sports. We had the NFL draft, and we definitely had the first round of the playoffs. We're going to get into it. Looks like everybody on time today. 1-2-2-9. You on live?
Yeah, I'm always live, baby. Yeah, Black Superman, you know, flew in one time for the one time. What's up with everybody?
Good to hear from you, man. The bully of the broadcast, my man Demetrius Adams, 5975. Your line is open. What's up?
You know, this is Mr. 330. Oh, you do. Akron's finest, the mayor. You know how it already go. You know what I'm saying? You got to respect it or check it. And I'm not a pair of Air Force One, so ain't no checking over here. Let's go.
Oh, man, Ryan, bringing it in, man, down south. Good to have you, man. AP6011, the line is open. Speak on it.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm just blessed to be here. You know, I was told I was going to be first, but my account got hacked. So I guess I'm the last person to sign in, but I'm just glad to be here, you know. That's it.
First mute of the day goes my man Mike Holmes. Let's get Tay in there. 8627, your line is open.
Yeah, you already know who it is. Most important one on the radio show. Let's go. Hey, where Chris at? Chris? No, Chris not here? Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and continue the show then.
I say another person's name before you say your name.
Yeah, you already know who it is. That's all you need to know.
100. All right.
How was everybody's week, man? We had a good week in sports. We talking about them playoffs and that draft, man. So I guess we're going to start it off with the draft, since that was probably the most biggest thing, I mean, besides the playoff. What's up? Who is that? Got they mic and ain't on mute. All right. But the NFL draft is over this weekend. Included with all three rounds, I think the – hello?
Who is that?
Yeah, we here. Yeah, we here.
Yeah, I'm about to bring some mics. Trying it out on a different computer. My bad, brothers. Anyway, NFL draft happened this weekend. We had the Browns trading their picks to get extra picks. We had a lot of Ohio State players picked in the first round and in the top 20. I think they broke a record, right? So what was everybody's takeaway from the first round? Give me your winners and losers from the first round. I think I'm gonna start with Tay, man. I think Meech might have something going on in the background. Hello?
My bad, I muted myself.
No, it's okay, man. I was just talking about, what was your takeaway from the draft? I mean, give me a team you thought won the most in the draft. You know, I think who you think made the best steals, made the best picks in the draft?
Honestly, man, I think Dallas had probably one of the best ones, just in my opinion, from Ezekiel Elliott being probably one of the most, or not even probably, just the most complete back in the draft, and then for them going back and getting a quarterback that they got, I think that's a real good sign for them. I think Jacksonville, I mean, if healthy, they might have had one of the best defensive drafts, just with getting, I believe, was Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey, I believe it was the other one they got. So I think that was real good defensively. Of course, if healthy, if they stay healthy, I know the issues about Miles Jack and his knee being, I think, degenerating or whatnot. But I think that that was definitely good pickups for them, and that they was even able to do that. I think that was good pickups for them. I think the Texans. I think adding Will Fuller, man, who got some jets on him, and then you know also even adding Braxton Miller. Like, I think they added you know a nice wide receiver threats to what they already got in DeAndre Hopkins. So I think those were the three teams that I was most intrigued by what they you know who they drafted.
Yeah, I saw that Dak Prescott to the Cowboys, 135th. Wasn't he projected to be one of the top quarterbacks and top picks?
Yep, sure was.
I guess that is a steal for him, though. That's probably where he should have been. Hey, Mike, how do you feel about the draft? Who do you think had the best draft weekend as far as teams or anything?
As far as the teams, though, I definitely agree with Tay Allen that the Jacksonville Jaguars had the best defensive standing-wise because I feel like, I don't know, just after doing research and what and just hearing the different stories about Miles Jack and his leg and then seeing him doing the dunk and everything, I think he's going to be good for at least a year. So with him and Ramsey, I feel they put their defense into another level. And then offensive-wise, I have to agree again with Ezekiel Elliott. I think out of all the players, he might be the most to dominate as a rookie year. Yeah, correct, going to Dallas. For a rookie this year, I feel like he's going to dominate the most, especially with that Dallas O-line.
I don't know. Stats don't show good for, you know, running backs picked that high. You know, in the draft, as of the past couple of years, you know, I guess 10 years, I think it was. So, I'm not sure.
They've been Alabama. They've been Alabama running back, so.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, that is true. So, I mean, I'll agree to, you know, that Zeke was a good, still really good pick, you know. I do think that. So, you think maybe the Jaguar? I'm saying, do you have a team, a specific team that – you think did overall well in the draft and probably came away with the best picks?
Overall, I would still go with the Jaguars because they packed what they needed the most and they stuck with it and didn't make any stupid hiccups. So they just kept it simple and went with the basics.
All right, Ryan, tell me what's up, man. Tell me how you felt about that draft, man. I know you had a lot of sleepers going through and a lot of Ohio State players, them Saints. And Saints love them Ohio State players.
You know, they definitely do. And I think that Ohio State was – they basically represented and everything. And see, like, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan right now. So I definitely got to say they did good. But I'm going to go away from what everybody else is saying because I actually do agree with Mike and Tay. But I want to throw some other teams out there that I feel like did a good job. And I want to speak on some losers. The other team that I think did a good job was the Buffalo Bills. They got Shaq Lawson. Dude was one of the most dominant defensive players or probably the most dominant defensive player in the draft, and in that division, you need defense. And I also feel like picking up Cardale Jones is a huge pickup for them because he can sit back and really develop. And I think that he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that you won't see him in the first 1, 2, 3. I think he's going to be like kind of like an Aaron Rodgers. He go sit back for a couple of years, and then he really go come out and then really go be that type of player that people wish they would have grabbed.
Aaron Rodgers type, or are you just saying like?
No, like I mean like how Aaron Rodgers set back. Aaron Rodgers is one of the top tier quarterbacks in the league right now, but he sat back behind Brett Favre and he learned the game. And not saying that the person in front of Cardale is Brett Favre, but he's going to sit back for a couple of years, so you're not really going to see this pick really pan out into a couple of years later, and then you really go see it. So that's why I think is that was a really good pickup, and I feel like that was a team that, besides the ones that people already said, that's a team that really did a good job in the draft, and they really hit on points with Rex Ryan, and he's a defensive player, so they got defense, they got linemen, they got, you know, a good quarterback that can sit back. They got running back.
linebackers, so they really did a good job, I feel.
Okay. I like the Giants getting Eli Apple and Sterling Shepard. That's a nice little, you know what I'm saying, offense, defense, and it's just, they got two explosive players. I like that. Hey, Meech, man, you free, man. Tell me what you think about this draft, some winners and losers. Please don't talk too much about the Browns.
All right. First thing I want to say, can you hear me? Can you hear me well, host?
I can hear you.
All right, that's good. Because I'm going to go on record and say that wasn't my fault. That was a joke. Metro, yeah, since you played before. So I just wanted to make sure we get that out in the clear, all right?
That was what was it? What did you say?
Say what? I said, don't blame me for your phone difficulties, okay? That's first things first, all right? So just like the Browns, you are the biggest loser on this Sunday night, all right?
Well, I'm using voice over internet protocol, which is over the internet. That's Google Voice.
Yeah,
so
like right
has nothing to do with
it doesn't
that.
Matter. It doesn't matter, okay? So now, first thing, the biggest loser of this week is, I feel as though the Browns, you know, I feel like it was once again bamboozled by the media. I do agree with my associates. Ezekiel Elliott is by far, I think, like the biggest impact player of this draft. You know, the easiest, I guess, pick. I mean, yes, there's going to be some surprise picks. And some people aren't going to surprise them. I think that was the no-brainer pick to uplift the franchise, especially after what you're seeing with Todd Gurley did with the Rams. I feel like Ezekiel Elliott would have been that pick for the Browns, so I feel for him to trade out that pick and then allow, you know, him to go somewhere else. I feel like they are the biggest losers for this draft. And because of that, I'm definitely trading my fandom. And I'm not rooting for the Browns anymore. I'm officially a Cowboys fan. So, yeah, the Browns. And, no, I agree with Tay and Ryan actually combined. I did say Buffalo. Buffalo and the Cowboys had great drafts, you know. And the thing is, that made Buffalo so good is because, you know, they are a terrible team, like, but they have talent, and they added to that talent, and I could see them actually making a big push and splash in that division now. And the Cowboys, you know, they actually have a good team. You know, Tony Romo was just injured, so, you know, them getting healthy, they can be a factor going forward, you know. So I think those are the big winners, and definitely the biggest loser is the Browns.
I like the Jets, too. The Jets got some defense. They got Darren Lee, picked up Ohio State player. They got that quarterback from Penn State in the second round. And what's his name? Jordan Jenkins from Georgia. So I think they bolstered in their defense since they really ain't got a quarterback. It's a lot of good draft picks out there and a lot of surprises. I agree with Ezekiel Elliott probably being the best player in this draft, really, as far as impact players. That was a good point. Meech was really negative. Tay, did you have any losers from the first round of the draft? Tay and Mike, I don't know if y'all told me any losers.
I might have to go with the Browns on that one, just for the fact that, like, I mean, I looked at their roster. Technically, it was an unofficial depth chart, which, of course, is way too early to have a depth chart, you know, just being removed from the draft. But, like, just looking at the names on the depth chart, you know, and for every position, I just still wasn't intrigued by the team to be, I guess, or interested to, you know, watch the games when the games come on this fall. So for them to have as many picks as they had, now I understand it was the whole money ball mindset, you know, get as many picks as possible. You know, obviously going or hopefully going to hit on one of those picks. But just for that, just looking at that depth chart and just being not interested or, you know, intrigued by what they got so far, I'm going to have to say the Browns was the losers of the draft. But I'm hoping they prove me wrong.
Okay. Browns is a loser. How about you, Mike?
That's two.
yeah, Browns.
I agree with what
– I agree. My biggest loser, it might not be a loser pick, but the way they got this pick – I would have to go with the San Francisco 49ers when they traded spots to get a place kicker. Even though he might be the best place kicker in the draft, he's still a place kicker. So
they traded up two spots, and from what it sounds like, nobody had them on their draft board for at least another round. So the fact that they traded two spots up to get them was probably like one of the dumbest moves I've seen in the draft, you know, besides Cleveland. But yeah, that was basically it. My end.
My brother was telling me he liked Laquan Treadwell to Minnesota, but he really didn't think that that'd be good. It's probably one of the reasons Mike Wallace left was because of Teddy Bridgewater really don't throw the deep ball. But I don't know. I think Laquan Treadwell going to turn out to be one of the best, like, athletes, one of the best, like, wide receivers coming out of this draft, too. So moving on, like I guess we'll stick to the NFL draft since this will be – we'll try to make this short. I think we was discussing a couple of people from, speaking of Laquan Treadwell, a couple of his teammates. Laramie Tunsil, is that how you say his name, the offensive tackle, and Robert Nkemen Deche, I think that's how you say his name. Yeah, they both were drafted. Both of them kind of fell for various reasons. Tunsil with the picture that went wound up on Instagram of him with the gas mask and everything. I really think that a lot of these things that they see, like every player, like it's 2016. A lot of kids have social media. A lot of kids have Facebook. They should watch what they do, but everything's kind of so dissected and they're watched like way too much. And I think it's kind of unfair that these are the reasons why they're actually losing money. But nevertheless, it is happening. They are actually falling for these type of stories. How do y'all feel about Tunsil's actions? And, you know, I guess the other guy, Robert, he failed a couple of drug tests, right? Say, is that – am I saying that right?
I think it's pronounced like Kim Dichie, basically, is how to say his last name, Kim Dichie. Right.
But what it was, he failed a drug test?
I believe that was the issue. I'm not 100% up to speed with that to say for sure. But, yeah, I do understand that. Yeah, if I think correctly, it was because of the drug testing. He just, you know, he failed because of that. But as far as Laramie Tunsil, you know, and his issue, I don't feel like, you know, it was he was dumb for doing what he did. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, speaking with one of our other colleagues who no longer is really relevant in this case, Christopher Kennedy, I say his name, yeah, I'm coming at you, like Birdman said. He's a college student, you know, and I'm, as he probably said, and as a lot of people know, a college student's going to do stuff like that. I mean, it's sad that, you know, people look at social media so heavily for certain things.
And he didn't
sad
post
that
the video with somebody else, right?
I mean, but he took the video in the first place.
Right.
So wherever the video was, you know, sent to, you know, it was just silly for even sending that. So whether he posted it and he deleted it or, you know, he just took a video and he sent it to a friend or somebody else got a hold of it, it was just silly. It's just all together on his part. But the fact that, you know, it even happened or even it popped up, I mean, it's sad. And it's sad that what people may put out there on social media, and it's sad that what people look at, you know, to get off of social media. So, you know, I feel bad for him, you know, that he got, you know, hit with that. I don't know if it was his stepdad who did it. I also heard a report that said it might have been his ex-lawyer or something like that that might have did that too. So, I mean, I think, you know, he didn't fall too bad. I mean, I think he's going to be, you know, a nice player just from what I hear about, you know, how good he did. But, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. But, you know, you got to roll with the punches and keep going.
Hey, Ryan, man, tell me what you think about some of these guys. I know you kind of watch the draft closely, too, as well. So how do you feel about their, you know, I guess how you being a college athlete and getting prepared to be part of the NFL, how you conduct yourself on social media and everything? You think it's fair?
I mean, honestly, I've never really been one of those types who come down on kids because I feel like a lot of these people who want to criticize people, their kids are the same age and their kids do the same recklessness that these people are doing. So at the end of the day, you just want them to be grown up because they about to be a professional athlete. I mean, I know that you do got to kind of step up to the plate, but at the end of the day, they still are young men. They're going to make mistakes. And I really don't feel like I don't really feel like either one. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I don't feel like either one of the people from Ole Miss did something that you couldn't go to any other university and see the same thing happening. Not saying it's right or it's wrong, but mm-hmm. to put it out like it's just that university is foolish to me, because you can go to every single university in any sport and you'll see the same thing that happens. So they, if they want to control something, they need to do it more than just try to focus on this school. They have to break down every single school. And with him, his situation, people were like, a lot of people were kind of coming at him like, oh, he's saying he's talking down on the university now because he's not there. Well, really, he never was trying to say anything about the university. Y'all came at him with the information. So he's just being honest about the situation that happened. What else can he do? There's nothing else that he can do except tell the truth. If he lied, then he going to look dumb, and that's going to make him look bad trying to get his money in his profession.
I agree. They're giving you loaded questions. I mean, I think that was Tay that told me that story, when that story broke, that they asked Eli Apple, did he like men and stuff like that. They be asking all questions to these men. These kids, rather. Meech, man, how do you feel about these draft situations? Demetrius Adams, calling Demetrius Adams.
Yeah, man. What I want to say is, hey, man, stop using my government name, man. Hey, stop using that, man. Hey, man, I take it as disrespect. Stop using my government name, man. If you use my government name one more time, I'm going to come to where you at. There's going to be some problems.
Oh, whoa. Turn your gangster off. We're on air.
Hey, man, my name is Black Superman on this show for a reason, man. I'm just saying.
Well, step into the phone booth and put your Clark Kent on, man. Tell me what you think about this draft and all the craziness happening around with these young players.
I think with Tunsil.
Tunsil.
No, I disagree. I'm not going to I don't want to hold up on this topic. I want to keep the show moving along, but I just echo the same stuff that they said, honestly. You know, stuff could have been done differently, but I don't blame him at all. You know, and I think Ryan just said, you know, they're trying to single out Ole Miss when really this is a bigger than them. You know, this is bigger than Eno Brown, baby. You know what I mean? This is big business. So, yeah. So I agree with the rest of the associates on the show.
Word. Mike, you got anything to put in on that? Speaking on the Tunsil and the Ole Miss situation, apparently Chris said he snitched basically on the situation. But I've heard, you know, players come out and say that they were paid by, you know, teams before. And this is what they do.
I honestly don't believe that he snitched at all. I mean, he was keeping it real. They asked him a question. He wasn't about to get up there and lie. They seen the text messages. So if he got up there and lied, you know what I mean, it would have just looked bad on his character. He had already slipped, and the Dolphins took a chance with him. So I feel like I don't think it's a big deal on his end. And plus, if you look at the picture, it was already stated that it was super old, and that if he took a drug test right now, he would pass it. So the bong thing, like you were saying earlier, like as young kids, you make dumb mistakes and put random videos out there. So I think it's just the media looking at a reason to make the story, like Goodell said, entertainment, exciting. And I think that's all it was. But the other kid getting caught with ecstasy, yeah, that nigga dumb.
Who's that? Who got caught with ecstasy?
Can't go off our names right now. Did read the report, but I can't give you the name of the person.
Oh, man.
Bad reporting. I thought it was bad that I
was the one kid.
Yeah,
I didn't even hear what you just said.
No, it's okay. I'll look at it. I'll look that up again. Okay, we're moving on to the next topic. We're talking about the first round of the NBA playoffs finally concluding tonight. Oh, my gosh, I picked the Pacers. I'm glad I picked the spread and not them to win straight out.
Thank you.
Shut up. Oh, you got your money, man. So the Pacers lose to the Raptors in the 7-game series in Toronto, 89-84 to wrap up the first round. So we have 8 teams left. We got Cleveland, and they playing Atlanta. We got Miami playing the Raptors, and then we got San Antonio, Oklahoma City in the West, and Golden State, and I guess my pick, the Portland Trail Blazers, man. What y'all think about the first round, man? Any bad takeaways? We'll start with Ryan. What you expect in the next round, man, but moving forward?
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't foresee any real trouble. I mean, the Cavs will win. The Toronto and the Heat, I mean, it's really just a toss-up in the air. I mean, whoever wins, it doesn't matter. They're going to lose to the Cavs. And then with the other side of it, the Warriors are going to win and the Spurs are going to win. That's basically pretty much what it is. I mean, I tried to tell a lot of people last night that the Spurs was about to handle them boys, and they got that work, pause. And they saw what happened. But, I mean, I like the Thunder. I honestly wish the Thunder would have played the Warriors. I think they would have had a better chance to win this series if they would have been playing the Warriors. But the Spurs are the most dangerous team that's left, honestly.
Really? Well, okay. Demetrius, man, what's your takeaway from that first
round? It's 11 p.m.
Right.
It's right outside the door.
Okay, we're going to move on to Michael Jackson. What are your takeaways from that first round? And what's your thoughts on this next round? What you see? You expect any upsets, any drama? What's going to be a good series? I know you're proud of your way your Miami Heat handled business today.
Oh, yeah, I'm very proud about the way the Heat came to the second round. What's up? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm excited about the Heat making it to the second round to play the Raptors. And I didn't get to see the game for the Raptors, but from what I was reading on Twitter, it looked like the game was kind of set by the referees. I don't know if that's legitimate yet because I haven't seen any highlights. But it doesn't matter who we playing. I feel like the Heat's ready to go in the second round and do whatever they can do and make it to wherever they can. But otherwise that, the OKC looked real bad yesterday, and I hope it was just like pregame jitters to see where San Antonio was coming out at, but looked real bad. And then as far as the other games, like Ryan was saying, it's kind of a given with the Portland and Golden State, and then I'm excited to see Cleveland and Atlanta tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right, so Tay, man, tell me what you think about that first round, man. You see anything? Come on, man, give me something, man. Do you see any drama happening, any upsets, anybody close to? I mean, even though Portland got whooped on tonight, I think they still got a chance to maybe do something or at least make it interesting while Curry is out. You see anything in the second round you like?
Well, as far as the first round go, I mean, it's sad that, you know, when Chris Paul and Blake go out, man, that's pretty much their hopes all gone right there. So, I mean, I had picked L.A. to come out against Portland and, you know, be playing Golden State this round. But, you know, of course, obviously things didn't happen that way. The whole Houston thing, I mean, that was funny that they even won one game. I was even surprised at that. But as far as, like, anything, you know, kind of crazy or big in the first rounds, I really wouldn't say so. I mean, I didn't expect the Toronto and Indiana to go 7 games like they did. And I definitely didn't expect Miami and Charlotte to go 7 games like they did. But wasn't nothing really too out of pocket or really, you know, crazy or anything like that to go out of the first round. But for the second round, I mean, like I said earlier in the chat, man, Portland got two chances to, you know, win some games against Golden State. And that's these two games that I feel that Curry is out, even though that they did win a game in a regular season where Curry was playing. I feel like, man, this whole different look for the playoffs. And Golden State showed that they definitely is an all-star caliber team with Curry out the way that they balled out today. So looking forward to that matchup, you know, see if Portland can respond to it. Oklahoma against San Antonio, yeah, they about to just get spanked. They don't even belong where they at right now. They're about to just continue to get spanked. Miami and Toronto, I think that's going to be a good series. And then Cleveland, go ahead and get these four games, go on to the next round, and just wait for our next opponent, man. It's easy breezy out in this East Conference out here.
It is. It really is. I ain't going to lie. It is easy. Cleveland got an easy road to the finals. Demetrius, is everything okay?
Are you still calling me by my first name, yo? You're still calling me by my first name, yo?
Black.
So, yeah, I know. Yeah, man, yeah, I do know that you know, you try to put me second after Ryan. I do know. I chose not to speak, you feel me? I'm tired of the disrespect. So you better, you better put me in my rightful place, man. I ain't going to say it no more.
Black Superman.
Thank you.
Can you please tell me what you think about the first round of the playoffs and moving forward the second round? Any upsets, or is it boring city? We just waiting until the Cavs and the Spurs and the Warriors is playing each other? Oh, man. Speaking of Metro PCS, I wish y'all could see this. I wish I could take this picture. Callers.
Hey, Suge, man, can I say one thing real quick, man? Shout out to my boy Austin Rivers, man. He's a soldier. That dude looked like he had did 12 rounds with Mike Tyson and was still out there balling, man. Pause, man. My dude was out there. I see my dude out there leaking. I said, oh, I ain't know what happened. I thought he got in a bar fight or something.
He got
was looking like he got out of fighting Ivan Drago.
Right.
First play he came back out, he got some stitches. First play out, he came back in and went straight to the post and got a bucket, man. It was crazy, man. He was out there balling.
Yeah.
Much respect. All right. Demetrius Adams Black Superman's call has dropped, so we're waiting for him to get back in the phone booth so we can loading back up to the Matrix. In the meantime, in between time, again with this with these playoffs, man. So I guess it's already a foregone conclusion that Steph Curry is going to be the MVP. But you see how they playing without him. You see how they played against Portland. I don't think Portland played that bad. Of course, they didn't start making their shots until later on, but they still scored 100 and something points, 106 points, and they made it look bad without Steph Curry, man. Do y'all see anybody really slowing the Warriors down? Is this just their season to win it?
I don't really play too much off of how much they scored, because the Warriors really, teams score a lot against the Warriors. Like, the Warriors are one of those teams that they're a good defensive team when it comes down to, like, you having to get a stop or something like that. Like, if they all put their mind to it, they're a good defensive team, but, like, throughout the whole game, they don't play good defensively. So teams are going to score them. They want to outscore you. Like, I think it's something with them that they find pleasure in outscoring teams. I don't know what it is, but I can tell when they put their mind to it, they have some defensive players. Like, Klay Thompson came into the league as a defensive player. He was not known for his offensive game. He was a defensive player, and he developed and developed. He always could shoot, but he's got better with his overall game. And it's just like other players that's on their team is the same way.
That is true. Hey, Mike, what you think about that? Do you think that the Warriors being stopped? I mean, look, I'm just looking at this. With Steph Curry off the court, the first three games, their point differential was +6. The last three games, the point differential has been +72. shooting 52% now as opposed to 43%, shooting 45 from three as opposed to 28% from three. They just turned it up without Steph Curry. Do you see anybody stopping them, Mike?
Not in this round. I think maybe the Spurs. I see the way they the Spurs are starting to click. They, like, I don't know if you could say they turned it, they have that turn on factor. No homo. But the way they've been turning it up, I think they can really take the Golden State Warriors to the seven games. And it'll be like a close call, like pretty much a toss up in the air as far as who wins that round. Because even though everybody's doing pretty good, I still think that Draymond Green is going to be the factor of the West series. Like, even when Curry comes back, Curry can do him. But when they start doing the double team up top on Curry and forcing other players, Draymond, basically Draymond Green, to he had another triple-double today. But once again, Portland's not San Antonio. So, I mean, I see Portland, but I'm looking in towards the head, like you're saying, like a team that can actually stop them. And that would be San Antonio because they proved it, not the last game they played, but the game before.
I think
the way they pressed.
I think they got the Thunder psyched out as far as that was concerned.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, keep going. My bad. I didn't mean.
He kind of threw me off, but wrap it all up. No, I don't see anybody seeing him.
Word. Hey, John Tate. My man Tate. Do I got to start calling everybody by their nicknames, or is this just Meech acting like this?
Yeah, I'd appreciate you leave my government off of this talk show. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Tay.
Why is this struggling so much? What's good, sir?
I'm talking to Jack. No. So what you think, man? Do you think anybody is really stopping the Warriors? They're really kind of making it look easy. They take away 30 points per game from Steph Curry. And like I said, possibly, most likely the MVP. You know, make one of the best teams in the league, a very good team and a very young team. They handled them with ease. It was Sean Livingston making turnaround jumpers. Everybody on the team gave buckets. You see anybody stopping the Warriors for real? Or are you just Cleveland fan and you just want them to win so bad?
Well, I'm always going to be a Cleveland fan. I'm always going to want, especially with the fact that we ain't had a title in, I didn't lost count how many years.
I did that.
I'm definitely want, the Cleveland, to beat them. But I ain't going to be mad if somebody else take them out before they even, we even get to the finals. But as far as anybody actually being able to stop them, right now it does look, kind of impossible for something like that to happen. But if I had to pick a team, I definitely think it would be San Antonio because they have probably just one of the most complete rosters all around. They have a coach who's a brilliant mind. He can honestly, as I've said before, he can take somebody basically off the street that you've never even heard of, wouldn't even know anything about, and turn him to a superstar. I'd never heard of this dude, Kawhi Leonard, of course, until a couple of years ago. But, before then, it was like, yo, where does this dude come from? Who is this dude rocking cornrows out here balling on people, but you've also seen other players from that particular organization just come out of nowhere, names that you've never even heard of. So I think you got a great coaching system. I do think that they have the best chance to beat the Golden State Warriors. So I think that they playing good. I think that the Golden State Warriors had a great game without Steph Curry. I don't think that they continue this, though, without Steph Curry. Just for some unforeseen reason, he gets injured longer or he has to stay out longer. I do not see them continuing this type of push throughout the rest of the playoffs.
Okay, let me say this. Let me throw my two cents in there.
Hold on real quick. Meech said that he's trying to call in. He said they won't let him call in.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right.
We're not live anymore.
Right, we ain't live no more, so he can't call back in. Dang, Black Superman. I will. So let's go on. No, I'm joking.
The answer is 51 years was the last time Cleveland won the title.
Oh. You got it. Good man. Good man. Good man. Correcting yourself. I did have something to say concerning the Spurs. I give a lot of respect to the Spurs organization, you know, with Greg Popovich. R.C. Buford does give Greg Popovich, like, the controls unlike any other coach. They work together in sync unlike any other coach or GM in the NBA and have been, you know, for the past, I guess, since he got there, the past 20-some years. The Spurs organization, they got good because they had great players. They did get great players. I don't think they were just turning, you know, nothing and no-name players, you know, into great players. I think what they were doing was picking the type of players that they wanted. They got Tim Duncan. It was a high draft pick. We knew Tim Duncan. Everybody knew Tim Duncan was going to be good coming out of Wake Forest. He was going to be a good player, and they had David Robinson already. Kawhi Leonard, I agree. I don't remember seeing a lot of highlights, especially in our time in this day and age, like where we're seeing LeBron playing high school games on ESPN. I didn't know too much about Kawhi Leonard. He really was a steal. But Tony Parker was really a really good French player, and he was drafted young. Manu Ginobili was a very good. These were foreign players. You know, of course, they didn't have as much hype as American players, but they weren't just turning nothings into something. You know, they got really – they have a really solid team over there because they have a really solid organization. But I think the Warriors just have a special team this year. I think that they're going to win it all. I want Cleveland to win. I'm with y'all Cleveland fans, but I just think the Warriors got too good of a team that they're going to beat the San Antonio Spurs, great organization, and they're too much for LeBron to handle. I don't think Kyrie and Kevin Love going to help out that much. Maybe wrong.
I mean, one of the things that I want to say is that you definitely made a good point. That's why I said, like, it's really going to come down to the finals. I mean, the Cavs, the Cavs' best option is really to play the Warriors again. The Spurs are clicking on all cylinders. And for reference to what you were saying about the Spurs players, that is true. Tony Parker, Ginobili, those were really well-known players. A lot of people in the United States didn't know about them, but they were well-known players. And, you know, I'm a real college basketball, you know, person, mm-hmm. So I watched all the time. Kawhi Leonard was not a top-tier basketball player. He was just athletic. He used to catch a lot of oops. He went to San Diego State. I remember him. He just used to catch oops and things like that. He would dunk a lot, but he wasn't shooting threes. He just developed that even in the pros, shooting threes. He was a dunker, and he could play defense. And that's, you know, he was athletic. Nice. He played defense, and that's, and they kind of just put him in there.
Well,
let me say this though, because let me at least clarify what I was saying. Yeah, I do think that I agree with you that, you know, they've had great players. They still have great players, that players that were known before even, you know, making it to the team. You know, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, you know, all those, you know, dudes, good players or great players even before that was well known. But I guess I was more referring to the Kawhi Leonard. Honestly, Danny Green, I mean, I didn't know much about him really coming to the league, saying that he was going, you know, thinking that he was going to be that big of a player. The only reason why I even knew Danny Green is because he was playing for the Cavs. And when he was playing for the Cavs, he wasn't even that hot, you know, anywhere, you know. And I don't know if it was just because he just didn't get that opportunity or he just hadn't developed. But when he made it to the Spurs, the dude became a threat. He's not somebody that you're just going to slack off on and think that you're going to be cool and you're going to coast to this win. And, you know, at the same time, you know, Patty Mills, you know, he may not be out there like the best, but, you know, he was somebody that you had to at least account for, at least not last year, but like the year before when they played against, I think it was Miami. You know, him and LeBron was kind of going at it back and forth, if I remember that year correctly. But, you know, they have the ability to coach players well
Patty
enough.
Mills is an outstanding player. He see them a lot in the Team USA matchup. So, I mean, he'd be out there. Well, you're right. They do develop players.
I get what Tay's saying. Tay, yeah, they develop them better than other teams because these other teams have had these same players and they don't do nothing with them. And then they come to the Spurs and then they're, you know, a solid player. I get what he's saying.
Can I have a player for great?
All right, guys.
They even had Steven Jackson, too, back in the day, I think for the first one of those championships in between.
Man, he want to punch people in the stands, man. That dude.
But they won with him. I'm saying if anybody could have won with him, out of all people, out of all teams, the Spurs won with him. Boris Diaw, he was
from. All right, see y'all later.